All right, y'all, real quick, here's how to support this show. First of all, buy my book, Fool's Errand. It's at foolserrand.us, and the audiobook is now available as well. Sign up for the show feeds, iTunes, Stitcher, and RSS, this, that, and everything. It's all at scotthorton.org. And also, you can subscribe at youtube.com/scotthortonshow, the full archive, 4,600 interviews, all available for you on YouTube as well now. And then check out scotthorton.org/donate. For $20, you'll be able to get the audiobook here very soon from there. Also, $50 if you want a signed copy of the book, Fool's Errand, the paperback. $100, you get a QR code silver commodity disc. And anyone who donates $200 or more gets a lifetime subscription to Listen and Think Libertarian Audiobooks. Take PayPal, one-off and monthly donations, take all different kinds of Bitcoin and digital currencies, especially Zencash, that's zensystem.io. But anyway, all those addresses are there at scotthorton.org/donate. And of course, there's patreon.com. There was a problem with it, but the problem's fixed now. Patreon.com/scotthortonshow if you want to donate per interview. That's how to do that. And anybody who donates a dollar or more on Patreon or signs up for a dollar more per interview will get 2 free audiobooks from Listen and Think Audio. And that could include my book now, too. So there you go. Find out all about all that stuff at scotthorton.org/donate. Thanks, guys.
Sorry, I'm late. I had to stop by the Wax Museum again and give the finger to FDR.
We know Al-Qaeda, Zawahiri, is supporting the opposition in Syria. Are we supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria?
Well, it's a proud day for America. And by God, we've kicked Vietnam Syndrome once and for all. Thank you very, very much.
I say it again, you've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked.
These witnesses are trying to simply deny things that just about everybody else accepts as fact.
You came? Saw? He died.
Oh, we ain't killing they army, but we killing them. We be on CNN like, say our name, Ben, say it 3 times.
The meeting of the largest armies in the history of the world. Then there's going to be an invasion.
All right, you guys, introducing William Arkin. He's the author of the books Top Secret America. That one's co-authored with Dana Priest. And also American Coup. And so now he's writing for NBC News, doing reporting for NBC News. And he's got this one, Russians Target Texas Democratic Convention. Welcome back to the show. How you doing, William?
Very glad to be here. What can I do for you?
Well, so I saw this post that you put up on Twitter, and I was just heckling. I'm not buying any of this Russia BS, but and it looks like when I just Googled it, you have a few stories here going back. So I guess just overall, broadly speaking, can you tell us what's your take on the Russia deal? And we can get into the specifics of your recent story here in a minute.
Well, since early 2016, I've been tracking the Russian government's operations vis-a-vis the United States and the American political debate. There's no doubt in my mind that it is a broad-based covert operation undertaken at the behest of the Russian government. And there's no doubt in my mind that it utilizes both Russian government operatives as well as private individuals who are working on contract for the Russians. So I think that a combination of my own investigations, our sources within the intelligence community, our investigations in Russia, and our investigations of both the victims and the parties involved have led to an undeniable conclusion that the Russians have been engaged in a broad-ranging covert operation. Now, there may be pieces of that that you disagree with, or there may be elements of Russian accusations against the Russians that might not be valid. And certainly we have found ourselves in a situation in 2018 in which the Russians are being seen as behind many things, and some of them are clearly not Russian actors. And so in a way you could say, well, we are suffering from some state of hysteria. But on the other hand, you could also say, well, the Russians have exactly achieved their goal, which is that we see the Russians behind activities that even they are not responsible for. But I really can't see how in March 2018 that anyone who's really knowledgeable in the field of national security could come to a conclusion that Russia has not mounted a broad, large-scale, clandestine and covert operation to influence the American political debate.
All right. Well, so I hope that you can at least understand my point of view when I say that it feels exactly to me just like it was 15 years ago. A whole lot of consensus and a whole lot of everybody knows and a whole lot of everything changed and a whole lot of, are you really saying that you don't think Saddam Hussein has at least some mustard gas still in a warehouse somewhere and that he could give it to terrorists? And how much time are we going to give these inspectors anyway? And all of this crap and all of the very best people, and I'm not implicating you because I don't know at all what your position was then, but every other reporter worth his salt knew that all of this stuff was at least basically right, with only the very, you know, minor exceptions. And when people like Scott Ritter said, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you, this is not true, people said, oh yeah, you're a freak, you're a kook, don't listen to him. And they lied us into war, and they ruined everything. And none of it was true.
Okay,
and,
so,
and Iraq couldn't possibly have been a threat to the United States of America. None of the stuff that they were saying in their narrative about the danger of Saddam Hussein was true.
You're interviewing yourself or you're interviewing me? So let's talk about
Russia. I'm trying to take
then,
us back.
And then we can. Well, you know what? So in 2002, I was one of the few journalists writing as a columnist for the Los Angeles Times who questioned whether or not there was physically a WMD in Iraq. So I have a fairly good track record on this subject.
Well, and then you know what
I mean,
every other reporter was wrong.
Let me talk as well, okay? So what I do learn from the Iraq situation is that I certainly wouldn't rely upon the news media, one side or another, in coming to a conclusion. I would want to have the facts in front of me. And I think that sometimes, as it was the case in Iraq, there was a lot of countervailing information. And part of the reason that that countervailing information was so influential was not because people in the news media were lying or necessarily because people in the news media even got their stories wrong. It was that the U.S. intelligence community didn't know what it claimed to know. So that's a really, it's a good point. Because here's how it really worked in Iraq. It wasn't that there was some grand conspiracy other than the grand conspiracy from inside Baghdad. So when Hosni Mubarak and King Hussein of Jordan and other Arab leaders said to U.S. intelligence at the highest levels, Saddam Hussein has WMD. Well, how do you know this? Well, because he told me himself. He told me himself he has WMD. And so then becomes the process of, well, how do we verify whether or not that's true? Because here's the leader of Iraq telling these Arab leaders secretly that he has WMD. And so the U.S. intelligence community, and I think we know quite well, didn't do a very good job of verifying that and operated with a lot of echo chambers and a lot of groupthink, came to the conclusion that all of these sort of anomalies in Iraqi behavior equaled a WMD. But in the end, it was provoked by something that was tangible, which was that, as we now know, Saddam Hussein was lying to everyone in order to what he thought would be to protect the country from attack. That if they think we have WMD, it's going to protect us from ultimately being attacked because there will be fear that we will use WMD. Now, let's try to take that case, the actual case, not the political case about what the Bush administration did or didn't do, and update it for Russia. What we know is that Vladimir Putin, as the president of Russia, has essentially had a very poor relationship with Hillary Clinton ever since his election in 2012 was condemned by the U.S. government when Clinton was the Secretary of State. The legitimacy of him as the president, the legitimacy of him as the leader. And after the invasion of Crimea, there became a highly accelerated process and program on the part of the Russians to try to mess with, to influence, to undermine Hillary Clinton and her political ambitions and campaign, because that was really what Putin was about. He was about making the legitimacy of her as a candidate and her legitimacy harmed in the same way that he felt that Clinton had harmed him. And we get to 2016, and all of a sudden this actor appears out of nowhere, and in the course of 2016, in this broad-based campaign to harm Hillary Clinton, it shifts to maybe we can help Donald Trump. Now, I'm not saying for a minute that there's anything that the Russians did that actually materially helped Donald Trump. Donald Trump got elected, and it surprised everyone, and it was the result of a massive failure on the part of the way in which the Democratic Party ran its campaign. It was the result of the death of discourse in America that comes with social media, etc. Now, you can't on the one hand argue that Donald Trump somehow became president illegitimately, that is, with the assistance of Russia, and yet at the same time say that a Russian program doesn't exist. So we have to take that off the table. So then comes the question, well, what did the Russians actually do? And now we know some facts. We know that the Russians hacked the emails of the DNC and provided that material directly or indirectly to WikiLeaks, Lucifer 2, and DC Leaks. We know it because the intelligence community has concluded, and I would guess that within the next 4 to 6 months, we'll see an indictment of the actual individuals who have done it. That's what Mueller is working on right now.
Well, but when they released their intelligence report about that, the NSA said they had moderate confidence in that.
Okay, so let's be truthful here. Each element of that unclassified intelligence statement, which was all of 3 or 4 pages, broke down the confidence levels of different pieces of it. So you're misstating things. What they said was that they had moderate confidence that the Russian government was behind the hack of the DNC.
Yeah.
They knew that Russian actors had been behind it, but they had only moderate confidence of the Russian government. By February 2018, however, all of the heads of the intelligence community have said that subsequent information, which was developed after October 2017, when that report was first prepared, said that they now had confidence that it was, in fact, the Russian government, that the Russian government had provided command and support for those actors. It's not really something to be argued about.
You're telling me this is something that they have said. You're not telling me what the evidence is. You're not telling me this is how we know. You're telling me this is who we believe.
Well, okay, so there's two aspects of the evidence, and you can go to the stories that I've done on NBC News and see them. One is the sources of information that are both signals intelligence and human agents who have provided that verification to the U.S. government, and the other is the cyber forensics itself. So the cyber forensics itself determined that the material which eventually was released by two entities called Guccifer 2.0 and another one called DCLeaks.com, entities, by the way, that don't exist anymore, and they don't exist anymore because they were Russian fronts. They disappeared because prior to the election, the U.S. intelligence community in a covert operation took them down, that evidence all cumulatively points to Russian government involvement in the movement of that data. Now, let's just take what Julian Assange himself has said, okay? What Julian Assange himself has said is, we don't know where the material came from. We have a blind submission system. So it's not like WikiLeaks is saying it didn't come from the Russian actors. What he says is, we don't know where it came from because the very nature of the submission system for people to leak information to us is protecting the identity of that person who's doing the leaking.
Hasn't he at other times said that he knew it was not the Russians?
He has claimed that he knew it wasn't the Russians, but I'm telling you that the forensic evidence is that they couldn't know because the way their submission system works, it is built around anonymity. That's how you get people to leak things. Julian Assange may have his own reasons for saying it wasn't the Russians, but the facts don't back him up. The fact of the matter is that if you submit something to WikiLeaks, your identity is protected.
Well, but I talked to Craig Murray on this show, and he says that he met with the person who was the leaker in Washington, D.C., and he didn't say he received the leak himself, but...
I'm happy for him to say it. I'm telling you the facts.
So you think, because is it the Cyrillic letters and the Iron Felix reference in the metadata that cinches the case here?
No, I don't think anything like that cinches the case. I don't think there's one smoking gun. As you well know, having done many shows and many investigations, there's no smoking gun. In fact, I can put all sorts of diversionary and or confirmatory data in any electronic document that I want to hand to you. It would be a very weak way of proving the case.
Well, that was the basis of the CrowdStrike conclusion that this has all been based on ever since last summer, right?
You know what? If you're going to sit here and cherry pick what you like as a source and ignore everything else, then you are very much doing exactly what you're accusing the CIA of doing in the WMD case in Iraq, which is just taking the evidence that suits your conclusion. I'm interested in asking the question of whether or not overall we can come to the conclusion that the Russian government is behind all of these operations. The Facebook and the trolls and the bots on Twitter, all of the operations of Guccifer 2 and DC Leaks, the blind submission to WikiLeaks, the use of RT and Sputnik and other entities of the Russian government to influence the American political debate. Overall, you have to conclude that there is a methodical campaign. Now, we could argue about whether or not the U.S. government has dealt with it properly. We could argue about whether the U.S. intelligence community is competent. We could argue about whether it had any actual impact. Those are all interesting arguments, but we shouldn't be arguing anymore about whether or not the Earth moves around the sun.
All right, you guys, here's who supports this show. First of all, the great Mike Swanson. He wrote this incredible book called The War State about the rise of the permanent military-industrial complex and the new right after World War II. It's a really important history. I think you'll really like it. It's The War State. It's on Amazon.com and thewarstate.com. And also, he gives great investment advice, if you have any money to invest, at WallStreetWindow.com. WallStreetWindow.com for all the financial news and the great advice from Mike Swanson. And when you follow his advice, I know he recommends that you keep at least some of your savings in metals. And what you'll want to do then is go to Roberts and Roberts Brokerage, Inc. That's RRBI.co, RRBI.co. And
platinum, palladium, gold, and silver, of course, as well. They take the slightest commission and provide great service. And if you buy with Bitcoin, there is no service fee at all. That's rrbi.co for all your precious metals. And then, of course, Zencash. It's a new digital currency, but it's also an encrypted messaging app and file transfer app. And you can learn all about it at zensystem.io. That's zensystem.io for Zencash. And then libertystickers.com. We've got a brand new website. In fact, just don't even go to the current website. Wait like 15 minutes and then go. We've got a brand new website going up there for libertystickers.com. It'll be up sometime next week. And I finally got Illustrator again, so we're going to be getting some new stickers up there. Lots of good anti-government propaganda for you there at libertystickers.com. And listen, if you want a new website, a 2018 model website, you got to keep up with the times for your business or whatever it is you're doing. What you do is go to expanddesigns.com/Scott and you'll save $500. Really, but what you're doing is it's a lot of dot connecting, right? Without any real proof that the Twitter and the Facebook and this and that
I would guess talking to you right now, Scott, that there's nothing that I'm going to say that constitutes proof in your mind. But what I don't want to
But what you are saying, though, is the intelligence agencies tell us this.
This is the overall conclusion. I'm not just a mouthpiece for the intelligence agencies. I've spent a year and a half working on this subject.
Okay, so let's talk about your recent piece. Talk about the Democrats
in this field. You either have to listen to what I say or not. If you don't think that what I'm saying is true, then you can say to your listeners, I don't agree with him. But don't accuse me of connecting dots to come to some tentative conclusion. If I thought that it was only tentative,
no, but that's what you're saying. You're saying
tell you that it's only tentative.
But you're saying if you zoom out, you see this kind of overall broad picture of this broad campaign, but it's based on a bunch of actual details that are themselves unproven, right? That the WikiLeaks necessarily came from Russia,
that the trolls were necessarily working
for the government.
No, I didn't say they were necessarily unproven. I said that they accumulate together. Look, we doubt for a minute that the Internet Research Agency is funded by the Russian government to conduct certain work. Do you disagree with that?
You know what? There are a lot of different things, a lot of different accusations about Saddam Hussein.
We're talking about facts. Let's just deal with facts.
With weapons of mass destruction. If you take the data points about his relationship with Osama, and you take the data points about the VX gas he still has, and you take the data points about his
so you don't
unmanned
want to
talk
about
drones,
the Russians, basically, is what you're saying.
I'm sorry?
You want to go back to Iraq because that's the only way that you can the Russians is not accurate.
No,
by saying
I just
that
one sentence before, Bill.
More than a decade and a half ago wasn't accurate.
No, I just one sentence before that, I cited the internet trolls. I cited the giving of the documents to WikiLeaks.
Just deal with that one. Do you believe that the Internet Research Agency is an arm of the Russian government, funded by the Russian government?
Well, you just said they've worked for the Russian government before.
Yes, an arm of the Russian government funded by the Russian government. I'm confident in that.
You're leaping to the conclusion that you're leaping to the conclusion, in other words, that their Facebook ads.
Let's just put on the table what the facts are that we can agree on.
Okay. Have they worked for the Russian government before? Sure. Their exact relationship with the Russian government, I don't think you know better than I do.
I think I do know better than you because I've read the documents.
Bill, what you're doing is you're using that to stand in. You're using that to stand in for the argument that
it's not a stand in. It's just one fact. Let's move on to the next fact.
Because the Russian government told them to do it.
Do you believe that Guccifer 2.0 leaks were manufactured to represent entities
Listen,
when in fact they were the Russian intelligence services?
Right now,
do you believe it or not?
Ask my question still. Listen, what you're doing is you're pretending that you know. You're leaping to the conclusion that the Facebook
ad. I'm not pretending anything, Scott. I'm just trying to figure out.
How come you won't let me finish a sentence then?
You're going to accept.
How come you won't let me finish a sentence, Bill? Listen, you're just
being interviewed, Scott. You get to talk to yourself all day.
Yeah, I know. I could do that, but I'm trying to ask you a question. Okay? How come it is that you're trying to just filibuster me instead of just answer the question about how you conclude that a bunch of Facebook ads, half of which were posted after the election anyway, were the Russian government's doing rather than making money or any other thing. The question is, was it a Russian government plot to put a bunch of Facebook ads on Facebook? And I'm asking how you know that it was, and you go, well, you have to zoom out and see the big picture.
Okay, so the answer is, how do I know? I know because I've interviewed people in the U.S. intelligence community and the Russian government and the social media space at those companies themselves, and their overall consensus is that many of the ads, many of the bots originated with it from Russia. So we can say that.
Yeah, but Russia's a big country. See, now you're...
No, let's just do it one step at a time, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Originated in Russia. Okay, so then we have to ask the question, well, what's the motivation? What are they doing? And so here's what Vladimir Putin said to Megyn Kelly just a week ago in an interview. He said, well, maybe they're just patriotic people doing their own thing. And he said, we had no involvement with it whatsoever. It's just patriotic Russians perhaps doing something that they thought that they were having fun with. So I guess you could come to that conclusion if you wanted to. Intrinsically, Putin is not saying they're not Russians. He's merely denying Russian government in direction and control and funding of those entities. So now we can at least agree that they're Russian, that they're Russians are trying to interfere in the American political discourse. So now comes the interesting question. Who are they? What are they trying to do? Where does it come from? Where is it funded by? Those are really interesting questions, Scott, and I would be the first and have been critical of the U.S. government for not providing enough information in order to substantiate the claims that they make. I'm the first to criticize the U.S. government, especially the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security, which is trying to rev up the states to be more involved in and more aware of cybersecurity against Russian intervention in the elections, and yet they can't convince the states of anything because they won't provide them any hard information. Now, you conclude from that, that's because there is no hard information. And what I conclude from that is there is hard information. I've seen some of it myself as a reporter. The problem is that the way the U.S. government works, and particularly the way the Department of Homeland Security works in being so way over their heads, is that they just don't have the culture to put that information into the hands of the states. It's a power struggle, if you will. They don't want to reveal that classified information, and some of it is highly sensitive as to where it came from. So we're in this conundrum because I'm critical of the U.S. government for not doing a good job in convincing the American public of Russian involvement. And yet, on the other hand, it's clear, even from the statements that Vladimir Putin himself has made, that, oh, yes, well, maybe Russians did this stuff, but it wasn't the Russian government. I am not more predisposed to believing Vladimir Putin than I am to believing the FBI or the Department of Homeland Security.
Hey, y'all, next Saturday, I'm giving a speech to the Libertarian Party of New Jersey State Convention. And this is at the University Inn on the campus of Rutgers University in New Brunswick. And so I'm not exactly sure what time I go on, but it's in the afternoon of next Saturday, March the 24th, in New Brunswick, New Jersey, there at Rutgers University. So check it all out at njlp.org. Well, listen, I mean, it's certainly an understandable narrative that it's a problem that they're crying wolf and making false accusations and making, therefore, undermining real important ones, if that's true. But, you know, there was this whole phenomenon of fake news that was originally blamed on Russia, but then the New York Times and others tracked it down, and it was some teenagers in Macedonia and Colorado. And basically they were putting out these stories like the Pope endorses Trump and this kind of thing. But so I wonder if some Macedonian teenagers can do that. Why is it that whenever there's a .ru address that we must see this as part of this broader Russian government plot?
But that's not what we said in our article. We said that the .ru address of people trying to register for a county meeting in Travis County, Texas, was certainly flagged and anomalous. And when the county official went to the government to ask what he should do about it, he was told, go to the FBI and the DHS. And what did the DHS and the FBI say? We can't tell you any information. And so then you get into the situation where you have a county official at the lowest level in Texas trying to himself decide and adjudicate, what do I do with these mischief makers, these Russian operatives? I don't know what they are. And that's what we said in our article. We don't know what they are. We can tell you what people think, but we don't know what they are.
Well, when I'm going off of what your tweet said, because your tweet said it, that looks pretty convincing.
Well, you know, maybe you
evidence.
Should have read the article before you interviewed me.
I did read the article, and you know, the version I'm looking at here is a local news reprint that I don't know if it's the entire thing or not.
Well, it's a pretty convincing article. It's pretty convincing. This seems to be the first case of Russian involvement in the 2018 midterm elections. Who is the Russian? We don't know. What are they trying to achieve? That's not quite clear. But it's certainly worth a news article to say that in Travis County, Texas, in the middle of the country, in a county party convention registration, that 48 people showed up as trying to register for that convention that had anomalous addresses that resolved back to Russia, and that 25 of those 48 addresses were mail.ru email addresses. It's certainly worth putting into the news media, Scott, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I guess, and you end with the quote that, look, this could just be a troll messing with us, too.
Yes.
So it seems to me, though, Bill, that if you're going from it could be a troll to it could be actual Russians to then it's probably the Russian government, if it's Russians at all, seems to me to be a stretch.
Well, our intelligence sources said it was the Russian government, but at the same time, we wanted to cover the possibility that it was merely mischief. So we include both sources in our article. We're not making an advocacy point one way or the other. The event occurred. Some intelligence sources said it looks like and talks like and quacks like the Russians. And other people said, you know what, it could be mischief. But even if it's mischief, we should have the tools at the hands of the local officials and the Department of Homeland Security, which has taken upon itself to be responsible for this, should be telling us what it is.
Well,
that's what our article says.
That's absolutely a fair point, that whatever is going on here, the local officials in charge of running these elections need to have confidence that the police agencies are telling them what they need to know so that they can run these elections fairly.
And they don't.
No question
about
that.
And if we can come up with a common conclusion here, it's that we do know now, and we have many cases. There's one in Alabama. There's one in North Carolina. There's one in Tennessee where local officials are being faced with the situation of having to determine whether or not anomalous activity is to be attributed to the Russians. And they're telling us we don't have the tools to do that. Where is the Department of Homeland Security that keeps telling us that they're going to protect the critical infrastructure to tell us, oh, don't worry about it or worry about it? And here's the final point, Scott. We are in 2018, and a poor woman running for state senate in North Carolina near Raleigh sees that her website has been hijacked, and she comes to the conclusion that the Russians had hijacked her website, and it's probably wrong. But the fact that she believes it tells us that we have a lot of work to do to understand what's going on in the American political system right now. That's the sad part, is that we do see Russians under every bed. We are back to some 1950s paradigm, which makes me extremely uncomfortable. And we should be trying as hard as we can to separate fact from fiction. But the U.S. government has failed to convey to the American public what it knows. And we now have a situation where the midterm elections are well underway and local government officials and local party officials are finding themselves out in the cold with absolutely no assistance and no information to help them to gauge what external threats exist to the election system. I think you and I could absolutely agree this is an unacceptable state of affairs.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you about all of that. Every bit of it. And I guess we better stop there because I'm late and we're not fighting anymore. So good to talk to you again, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Bye.
All right, you guys. That's William Arkin. He wrote American Coup, a really important book about the rise of the homeland security state in the 21st century here, and Top Secret America with Dana Priest before that, based off their series in the Washington Post, which I hope you all read. All right, this one is at NBC. Russians target Texas Democratic Convention. And so ScottHorton.org, YouTube, Twitter, FoolsErrand.us for my book. The audiobook is out. Get it. NIWAR.com, LibertarianInstitute.org, and Twitter. Okay, bye. Hey, y'all, check it out. The audiobook has finally been released. Just go to FoolsErrand.us. That's the shortcut. It'll take you over to the Amazon page. And very soon, actually, I got a brand new website going up at ScottHorton.org. And so soon you'll be able to buy that audiobook directly from me. But for now, you can still get it at Audible. And at Amazon.com, the audiobook of Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. And yes, it's read by me. And I'm sorry it took so long. I nitpicked the hell out of it trying to get it ready for you guys. And then plus it took them forever after I submitted it to finally release it. But anyway, there you go. Fool'sErrand.us, Amazon.com. Just search for my name, Scott Horton, Fool's Errand. And the audiobook is up there for you. Also, of course, available in paperback and Kindle if you want the 1150 footnotes.